The Pick'em Guru is back and riding high this week anyway. From Los Angeles, it's Mark Elliott with the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast for Monday, October 14th, 2024. And before I get rolling, I do want to do a tribute and a congratulations to the late, great Jerry West, who growing up was my boyhood idol. He was inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame for the third time, the only man to be inducted into the Hall of Fame three times, this time for his contributions to the Lakers' eight championships and the Lakers organization that he pretty much built that empire. Not by himself, but he was a key cog, key brain behind all the Lakers' success. He played 14 years as a player, 932 games. He scored 25,192 points, averaging 27 points per game, and there was no three-point line when Jerry played. When he retired in 1974, the NBA didn't adopt the three-point line until 1979, after the ABA disbanded. So I will make an argument for this, that if there was a three-point line, Jerry West would still be in the top 10 of NBA scorers. Now, I realize he doesn't get on anybody's Mount Rushmore, and it's been 50 years since he played. A lot of people didn't get to see Jerry West play. And everything you see on YouTube is very flattering. But he is the logo, rightfully so, and he should remain the logo forever. And he doesn't really need to be on anybody's Mount Rushmore because he is an NBA god. Here's what's happening on the sports page today. I've got the best of the NFL Week 6 coming up. And I was smoking hot this week picking winners. You won't believe it because I still don't believe it. Might be the best week ever. The Raiders sucked, and we know it. We had another shakeup in the college rankings over the weekend. So who's our new number one team, or do we have a new number one team? Stick around and find out. We are 8 days away from the opening day of the NBA season. Are you ready? I know I am. The Dodgers might have risen from the dead, but the Grim Reaper still has them in his sights, and I'll explain that coming up. Plus, we got fan mail all on the way. That's what's coming up on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Alexa, Spotify, Amazon, and at BigFourSportsUSA.com, where you can also read the Big Four Sports page. Always some good stuff on there, if I do say so, my damn self. All right, let's get into the best of Week 6 in the NFL. How about the Detroit Lions beating the snot out of the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, 47-9? You put up 47 points in the NFL. That's a butt-whooping. Now, unfortunately, the Lions lost defensive player and the heart of that defense, Aiden Hutchinson, to a broken tibia. He's gone for the season. But hey, the Lions are stacked. This is a good football team, a well-coached football team. Tampa Bay putting up 51 on New Orleans was also a butt-whipping. New Orleans, who is beset with injuries right now. But again, 51 points put up by Tampa Bay. So if you had players from the Lions or the Buccaneers in fantasy football yesterday, you're duck walking right now. 49ers got back on track over a solid Seattle team on Thursday, 36-24. Are the 49ers back? As they get healthy and we get closer to the playoffs, I look for the 49ers and the Lions to repeat. And I think the Lions might go to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, the way they played yesterday, that was just a butt-whooping. Well, the Raiders sucked, and we know it. They made a quarterback change and went with Aiden O'Connell. He was 27 of 40, 227 yards, one touchdown and one interception. And I ask myself, could Gardner Minshew have done that? And the answer is yes. So it was not an upgrade as far as I'm concerned. I still want the experienced quarterback in there who put up 9 wins for the Colts last season. We'll see if the Raiders go back to Minshew in their game against the Rams coming up this weekend. But hey, the Raiders have no running game, no passing game without Adams and Myers. And as I said going into that game, they had to play error-free football, limited penalties. None of that happened. They had 3 turnovers, 3 fumbles, 2 lost, 1 interception. That's not going to get it done when you barely are putting an offensive team on the field. I mean, at the end of the day, folks, the Raiders are a terrible football team, and I only see 2 more potential wins on the schedule this season for the Raiders, possibly at Miami and at home against Jacksonville. Outside of that, it's going to be a challenge. And you can complain about Getsy all you want, But the Raiders' issue started at the top with Mark Davis. He has made one bad decision after another. He got moving to Vegas, correct. But as far as I'm concerned, that was a no-brainer. He's got a beautiful stadium. He's charging the cheap seats, $500, to go watch a Raiders game. That's not going to happen much longer unless he puts a winner on the field. It's not going to be this year. I mean, if I'm him, I'm cutting bait with this whole coaching staff and general manager right now, top to bottom. My advice to Mark Davis is to start hiring proven winners and stop hiring the proteges of proven winners. Tom Colesko is GM. There's a reason why the Chargers fired him. He was a loser. There are no second chances for losers, or at least there shouldn't be in the NFL. You want to win football games, Mark Davis. You want to put a product on the field like the 70s. John Madden was a winner. Tom Flores was a winner. Go find proven winners from top to bottom. Guys who have been to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. Not the proteges, the actual guys. You need some hogs and dogs on the lines. You need a franchise quarterback, and then you can round out the team. That's how you build a professional football team. And you're not there yet. Why wait until the end of the season? You're going nowhere. It's time to cut bait. You know you made a mistake with Antonio Pierce. That was an emotional hire. You know it. Cut bait with them all and get rid of them and start over. It'll give you more time to do it than if you wait until January or February. The NCAA playoff rankings got shuffled again this weekend. Oregon beat Ohio State by 3 in overtime, and it was a hell of a game. It wasn't enough, though, for us to boost Oregon to number 1. Our rankings this week, Texas at number 1, number 2 Oregon, number 3 Penn State. I know they had a tough game. Everybody has a tough game. The key is the W. Miami at number 4, Ohio State is number 5. Watch out for Iowa State and BYU, both at 6-0 and are coming on right now. Looking good in their conferences. You can see our top 12 now at BigForceSportsUSA.com. So let me talk about myself for a minute, because I don't want to break my arm patting myself on in the back, because, you know, it was a good week. It was a good week, picking winners and losers. I picked up 12 out of the 13 games. I lost Thursday's game, but something happened over the weekend. They say the sun shines on a dog's ass every now and then, and it shined on mine yesterday. I got every game correct. Now, tonight I've got Buffalo over the Jets, if Buffalo wins. I don't think I've ever gone 13 out of 14 before. And if Buffalo wins tonight, I win my pick 'em 4 as well. And I'm back to even in the money where it matters. And I got 11 weeks left where I can finally start to make some bank picking football games. We are 8 days away from opening night of the NBA season on October 22nd. Both games on TNT. On opening night, there's only two. New York at Boston. We'll get a look at the New York Knicks and Karl Anthony Towns against the Celtics, trying to make an opening day statement. Minnesota will play at Los Angeles, and we'll get to see LeBron James with Bronny James on the court for the first time together officially. We've seen it in the preseason, but we'll see it officially. That'll be a cool draw that night. Full schedule set for Wednesday night, including the Los Angeles Clippers opening their new Intuit Dome against Phoenix. That game will be on ESPN. I got to tell you, it's been slow, but it's starting to happen a little bit. When LeBron James retires, and Lakers will probably be forced to trade Anthony Davis at that time while he still has some trade value. The Clippers now have, over the last 10 years, they've pretty much had their way with the Lakers. Now, they haven't met up in the playoffs. But regular season, Clippers have dominated the Lakers. Now they got the better arena. Still in Inglewood, but it's still the better arena. We're going to get a look at it on Wednesday night. But I just kind of feel like, when LeBron's done and Davis is gone, that the Clippers, they tend to have a little bit more on the ball. The downside is they lost Jerry West as a consultant. And that's a big loss for the Clippers. I'm not sure that Paul George goes to Philadelphia if Jerry West is still a consultant. All right, the Dodgers may have risen from the dead, and they're on a mission. They beat the Mets last night 9-0 in Game 1, and they've gone 33 consecutive innings without allowing a run. But you know how the baseball gods work. the Mets could open up and score 10 runs and Dodgers get nothing in Game 2. Game 2 played later today in L.A. But if the Dodgers are going to win this thing, they got their work cut out for them. Imagine playing 7 games against the Mets and then maybe facing the Yankees 7 games in the World Series. Do you know how many miles the Dodgers would have to travel? Try almost 23,000 miles in 2 7-game series. Even if it's the Dodgers playing Cleveland, it would still be close to 20,000 miles they would have to travel. The Yankees, on the other hand, they're just going to Cleveland. That's a 90-minute flight. So they're getting kind of a break in there. They'll have to travel if they play the Dodgers, of course. And even if the Yankees end up playing the Mets, for an example, or Cleveland and the Mets, Mets are going to have some miles on them, too, after playing the Dodgers. But you see how this is playing out, how that fatigue factor could enter into this for the Dodgers. It's going to be an interesting playoff series the rest of the way, playoff season the rest of the way. All right, let's get into the chat box at BigFourSportsUSA.com. Chase G. from Champaign, Illinois says, what is your take on the Chicago Bears? Tough division. Bears are 4-2 right now, 4-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. I think that's the challenge. You haven't played a divisional opponent yet, and you've got Detroit, who's solid. You got Green Bay, who's playing well, and Minnesota, who's undefeated. That's 6 games that you got to win at least 4 in order to have a chance. Bears look good, though. Future looks bright. Put on some shades, man. Graham T. from Decatur, Georgia. You have Georgia 6th in your latest poll. How do you justify that? Well, the undefeated teams are almost always going to rank higher in our poll. The reason for that is with the alignment schedules, it's very hard to stay undefeated. Very hard to go undefeated in college football. Hey, we've seen it happen. We saw Ohio State go down. We saw Alabama go down. We have seen Georgia go down. It's not easy. So if you're undefeated 6 games into the season, you're always going to get priority in those standings. Now, of course, we've got BYU and Iowa State moving up. They're both 6-0. They should be up higher in the poll, but they started lower than everybody else. So let's see if they can get to 7-8-0, and they might move up and pass some of the other teams that have one loss in our poll, which obviously doesn't count towards the playoffs or anything like that. That's just our poll that we do. Okay, but fact is, Georgia didn't move up into the top 5 because Ohio State losing to Oregon by 3 in overtime didn't really justify Ohio State dropping out of the top 5 to us. It's only 3 points in overtime. But the bottom line is, the only poll that matters is the last one that determines playoff position. So if Georgia's really as good as you feel they are, they continue to play well, they don't slip up, and you have a slip up from Miami, Penn State, which are 2 teams who can possibly slip up, you know, Georgia will be right back in the top 5. The advantage of losing early. Ali P. from Duluth, Minnesota. Do you think the Minnesota Timberwolves made a mistake by trading Carl Anthony Towns to the Knicks? No, I don't. Trades are supposed to help both teams. I think the Knicks, they needed a big guy, a proven big guy. They got their man in Towns. They can afford to pay Towns, where Minnesota, not so much. But when you look at what they got back with DiVincenzo playing alongside Anthony Edwards, and then you've got Randall, Gobert, and Nas kicking the ball out to those guys, that's as close of a match to the Dallas Mavericks with Doncic and Irving that you're going to find. And I think that's why they made that deal as well. But all they really lost, production, I think they gained between the two players with Randall and DiVincenzo, scoring-wise. They lost a little bit in height. That's about it. So they're going to be, you know, Randall 6'9", he's a hell of a banger on the boards. So he can score. So I don't think they lose a lot of production. I think they even gain more. So I think the Timberwolves might have made out just a little bit more in this trade. But as they say, time will tell. All right, that wraps up the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast. I have medication standing by. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, too, so you never miss a podcast. You'll find it right in your news feed. You'll never have to dig for us on an app. You can find this also at BigFourSportsUSA.com to listen and read the Big Four Sports page. We're going to do this again next Monday, October 21st. Game over.